Hello and welcome to Woo Wooville. This is Pamela.
And I am Emeril.
And I am Lola. And I have a brief announcement before we begin. We are in Mount Vernon, Washington, and I do spirit guide drawings and I also read tarot. Welcome to Woo Wooville. That's part of the woo woo. And I will be at Mystical Wears, which is a metaphysical store in Mount Vernon, Washington, on Fridays, 10 to 4. And there's a big event coming up in Everett, Washington, called the Alchemy Fair at the end of October. I will be there with Emeril. We're going to share a table. So if you guys ever want to meet the two of us, we'll be there. And if you want any more information about the fair and also about what I do, I can even do my services online. Spirit guide drawings can be sent to you via email. I can do tarot readings online as well. You can find me at www.lolasinger.com. And I wanted to also confess that we were very nervous on our first episode. This is episode number two. We got the first one under our belt. We've been assured that the first one is the hardest one. And anybody who listened to that episode, there were so many glitches that were going on. And we've made a pact. We should have been totally honest with the audience and told you what was happening. So at one point, my computer started overheating. And it was really bad. I thought it was going to shut down on us while we were recording. And I think what we did is we looked like we're going to try to wrap it up really fast. So we kept saying, and in conclusion, and in conclusion, and in conclusion, and we never concluded. And then on top of that, we realized partway through the recording that the power strip we were using, the switch had been turned off. So all of a sudden my computer said battery power, like almost nothing left. And we're talking and trying to stay cool while we're trying to figure out what the heck is going on with the computer. And then we finally figured out that the power strip was not properly plugged in. So our vow to you is we're never going to be professional. That's the vow. We are amateurs and we're doing this out of love for you and our community. But from here on in, we're just going to let you know when something looks like it's going awry. So we just don't keep saying, and in conclusion, and then fix the power strip or the computer suddenly decides it's not overheating again and then keep going after we said in conclusion. So anyway, that's our promise from here on in.
All right, so I guess one of the things about this podcast that I feel that it's really awesome is that we just decided to kind of have that conversation, be able to be open to you guys about anything that kind of goes down. And I mean, in reality, all these things come up all the time, so why not share it? Just being transparent here.
100%.
All right, so let's move on to today's episode.
Yes, we're going to talk about our experiences with plant and animal medicines. And I'm going to be the first one to admit I'm very limited experience. So there'll be people out there who have done it many, 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 many times. I have done cacao once and I have done cambo once. So I'm going to share my experiences with you about that today. And how about you guys?
So I have done cambo once and cacao once as well.
Yeah, no cambo for me, but I was super jelly when you guys were doing it. And they did it together, mm-hmm. which I thought was so beautiful to have such a wonderful experience of something new. And very brave. Like when I heard about some of the things that were going on, I was like, woo, this is good. So to have you both doing that together, I think was super awesome. But I wanted to do it. And it was interesting. We'll talk about this, but at the cacao ceremony, I kept hearing frogs, and I kept feeling...
I know you did, yeah.
I kept hearing,
we can hook you up with the practitioner if you want to.
Yeah, so, cacao medicine for me, my goal is I want to do ayahuasca. There's a retreat in Costa Rica that's done once a year with shamans. There, they generally don't work with anybody outside of their own community. They're very private. And so the fact that this group was even able to work with the shamans, and they've been doing this, I think, for over 10 years now, is a huge deal. So they're in Costa Rica, and I really wanted it to happen this coming year, but I don't see that happening just yet. So I'm putting it out there. That's my goal, is to add ayahuasca. And also Cambo does sound interesting. So I'm open to it.
Okay, so one of the things about the cacao ceremony we wanted to mention, that's the one we all did, and we wanted to share our experience because it was so different to each one of us, as well as we're not claiming to be experts, we're just sharing our experience with it. So Carrie is the name of the cacao practitioner. She's located in Linden, and we will include her information if you're ever interested in contacting her. On our episode, extra stuff that we'll have in the information.
Yeah, Carrie Starr, Starr.
We have a website, but we're also working on starting a Facebook page.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll keep you posted with that. But Carrie was, how it all happened is I went to a in-person breathwork class, and she happened to be doing breathwork next to me. And the person that was doing the breath work in person, she told me she was going to introduce me to a friend. So that's how we got set up. But originally how it all happened was we came into this room and there was this energy that I could feel. It was such a loving energy. And I'm like, what is this? And then she explained that there was a cacao ceremony that went down the night before. And I was just so interested in it. And that's how everything got started. Carrie is very connected to cacao from a heart space place. She herself has found the medicine to be really helpful for her. And it was an amazing experience, and we kind of wanted to share it with you guys.
Yeah. Especially since we just did it a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So it's very fresh in our minds.
Very fresh. And I think that one of the things that I loved about it was the community. So we had about 18 people there, but to be able to do this with other people, it really helps you connect to connection. So you go deeper in, at least that was my experience, but it was wonderful to do that together as a group.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, cause I didn't until I had the opportunity to be part of this event, is that cacao opens up your heart center, and it's yin energy that is being channeled. Carrie, the practitioner, kept calling cacao Mama Cacao. And so I was expecting something very gentle, you know, very yin, very, you know, for those of us who read tarot, Empress card. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. So it was interesting because the idea of the community is that everybody's heart is opening together. Mm-hmm. And that's what really brings you closer as an experience. Is that how you interpreted it as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, by the way, Pamela is being very discreet. I'm gonna say she's the one who hosted it. It was on her property. Yep. And it was right by a creek. It was quite nice. We had everybody out on the grass by the creek. And the frogs joined us, and the spiders joined us, and the birds joined us.
Yeah, we had all sorts of eagles, falcons. It was so lovely to have that nature aspect and feel the groundedness of the land. And, you know, me, and I don't know if you did this too, but, you know, when you're, for me, it's such a treat to meet someone who's really good at what they do spiritually. So watching and observing her, how she conducted herself, and you could just really feel what an honor it is for her, that it's very sacred to her. And so she conducts it in that way, and that is felt as ceremonial fans and things that she is saging as you go in through the circle and having intentions and the musical playlist and seeing everybody just kind of flow with the music and the things that came to her as she circled around. She gave such tender care to each person. So part of it, I was tuned out, but part of it, my body wanted to be up and watching people and what she was doing. And that was a real treat for me to see everybody else experiencing it, where a lot of people were totally out. I think a lot of it, Lola, you were really just lying down and immersed in either a journey, or how would you just describe that?
Well, I expected it to be very soft energy, and I kind of came into it without having an intention. But what's interesting is, and I think Amaral and I were talking about this, the things that were on our mind that we'd been working on, like the week or two beforehand, came through to give us answers or closure. Mm-hmm. So I had been really struggling with the concept of anima animus, which is very complicated for those of you who don't study Freudian, and I'm sorry, Jungian psychology. But when you study Western hermetical sciences, metaphysical sciences, there's a concept that when we come to this world of matter, when we're born and we take physical form, part of us is left behind, and that would be our spirit. And if you come in a physical form that is masculine, your feminine is observing you and helping you from another plane. You're still connected. So I would really been struggling with what my divine masculine counterpart is. And through tarot studies, you guys are going to find out I've been studying tarot and esoterics for 13 years now with the same master teacher. So I had been under the impression that I had a divine masculine energy that was presenting itself in a certain way with a certain image. And then all of a sudden it shifted, and I had gone to Pamela for help with that, and I'd even talked to Amaral about that. I was like, I don't understand that. I was giving an image of what this energy would be, and it changed. And so I'd been struggling with that for like a week, right? Mm-hmm. I think I saw you a couple days beforehand. And what happened was I felt and I saw the new version that I was perceiving of the masculine energy that's part of me in a different form. It's in the form of a man wearing white buckskins now. So he's very, very Native American is how he's being presented, and he's elderly and wise. So I felt him being integrated. It's almost like I could see him, and it's like he dissolved into my body.
Ooh.
So all the things that I'd been wrestling with and confused, I was trying to get answers at a mental level, and my brain couldn't wrap around it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't blame anybody in the audience if they can't wrap their brains around what I'm talking about either. It all came to fruition. It all came to fullness. So I had my tarot class with my master tarot teacher on Wednesday, and I asked about, did I fully integrate my masculine and feminine within my body because of the cacao ceremony? And the answers were clearly yes.
Wow.
So now, so the presentation, which is called Rolling Clouds, this is Rolling Clouds, who used to be a husband in a past life, is now my divine masculine completing me in my body. And I mean, that was huge. That's a huge integration. Mm-hmm. I did not expect that in the cacao ceremony. I expected it was just going to be a little lovey-dovey. I'd come out all peaceful and hippie-like. I love everyone. Hugs, 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 hugs. But it was even better. I integrated. The mastery is balance. And if we can balance this is chemistry, alchemy. If we can balance that masculine, feminine within us, that's perfect mastery. So I don't claim to be a perfect master, but at least I've got that integration working on my behalf thanks to the ceremony.
That's awesome. I love that. Amaral, what about you? What was your biggest takeaways?
So my experience with this cacao sacred medicine was, since early morning, I was really prepping up because I wanted to make sure that my heart space was open to receive the medicine, because that's one of the things that Carrie said. That's how we get best prepared for this type of ceremony and this type of plant medicine. So I just kept trying to like open up more. And then during the ceremony, she kept saying like, just when you think that you've opened up enough, open more. And so that was really intense because I kind of really resonate with the term of Grandma Cacao, because grandma is like that really warmth, like loving energy that supports you and is very loving. And I, with my experiences, I went as deep as my wounded inner child feeling unsafe. There was two things that came up. It was one, feeling unsafe, and two, not trusting any adults. Because, you know, the thing about it is, it's not that parents get this book of this is how I'm supposed to be a perfect parent. They do as much as they can. And a lot of the times, because they themselves are wounded, that's the only thing they can provide. So a lot of our healing actually takes place when we go back and we reparent ourselves and let go of things that held us back, meaning like pain. So Grandma Cacao came in really nurturing energy. And while she was taking care of giving it the unconditional love that I needed, I was working with releasing the pain. And that was a lot. And as Lola said, I really expected it to be like kind of like just this subtle energy, and it really wasn't. But I kept opening up more and more and more. And I was just very grateful for the experience, because that was something really big that I felt like I needed to get done with as far as healing goes. And I was just very grateful for the moment. So how was your experience with it, Pam?
Yeah, I was noticing that as you both were talking, the thread that we've all been working on, the inner child. A lot of work around that and bringing back different things. And so one thing that I would like to add in, as I think about that day, is Carrie pulled me aside before we started, and I was just asking a few questions, you know, about the flow and certain things to details. And she said, Pamela, I have to tell you this, like in the morning, I was coming out of the dream state, you know, I'm that place where you're coming to, but you're still under the influence of sleep. And so you're in this kind of in between. And she said, I normally, do a blessing for the land and connect it and clear it. And she connects and does what she does. I don't remember exactly all her wordings. What I do remember is her saying, I felt you. With the land, and you're like very protective. You're like, I've got it. I've been doing this. And she went into a little bit more detail. I don't need to say all those things, but a lot of times we do our little magic stuff in our heads or in our hearts, and we don't know that anybody else can see or be a part of that. And so I have been doing what I do to prepare the land, and it was just, you know, it was around the home and then different areas. And as I talked about it, she was like, yes, yes, yes. Like, so somebody else to be able to acknowledge what you're doing and for her to connect to it that way and see that I had been doing my part, you know, as a shaman is one of the things is really connecting to land and really wanting to make that area be as good, as best as it could be. And so that was really cool. And she was kind of like, my impression was that didn't happen very often, because mm-hmm. then she had to talk to somebody else.
I would imagine that
she was like, am I getting this right? And she had to consult with a friend of hers because that was not a norm. And so she was so impressed by that. And it just really kind of set up that feeling for me of, okay, we've got a very intuitive, very connected person that's coming from her heart place. And to know that if I wasn't doing that she was already doing that work for the ceremonies that she takes part of. My takeaway was really connection to community. How important each single person was there. So I connected in this deeper way, which is, I think, has been an important thing for me, because so many of us on this path, we feel alone, even within our own family. We feel ostracized in a way. It's solitary. A lot of times you're walking this path by yourself, and it's lonely. Mm-hmm. And as you wake up, that's another feeling of, oh, I don't connect to people in the way you do. So there's many times a death and rebirth going on. So feeling connected to each person there, and that each person was part of my experience to my heart. I just got super emotional. I said last episode is that's how I often experience confirmation of spirit, is I get emotional. So I was crying and just feeling so much gratitude for the community and the love and how we're all here. And one of the messages that was very clear to me that I needed to hear was, the more work that I do on my heart and heal things and let go, the more space I have in my body. And that us as healers, we are coming in during this divine timing, and we're meant to be of service and be of help. And I feel like we're, a lot of us are being ushered to work through our stuff in a quicker timeline and get through it, because we're here to be of service. And the more stuff that we are holding on to and may not even be aware of that we are holding on to it, the more space we hold is the more light we hold. And so as I was working on this, and I remember that saying, she said, can you hold more? And you're in this state, and then it's like somebody asking you to do 10 more reps or something like that. It's like, can you give me 10 more? It's like, oh my gosh, you know. But I felt that expansion of my heart to go bigger. And that's the part where I really felt like, wow, I thought I was already being pushed to the limits of what I could hold. And then I went deeper with it. And so that's when I got the message that the more we let go of, the more light we can hold and be that safe container for other people. And so that was kind of my takeaway. I was really blown away by that too. I really tried not to have expectations. So I was just so pleasantly pleased.
Amaral had a similar experience with the heart expansion.
Yes, I really wanted to share this, because here's what's really interesting is, it was definitely a powerful healing, and we all got so much out of it. And sometimes, like a lot of us, I can say for myself, we got a lot to take home, like that extra thing. So one of the things that happened right at the end, Carrie kept saying like, oh, just when you feel like you've opened up enough, open more and open more. All of a sudden, I felt my heart space just explode. And when it exploded, it shot out this energy. And then I felt like it never came back. And I was like, what is going on? Meaning coming back, meaning my heart space never closed back up. So I was wondering what this was all about. And then I was so raw at that moment that I couldn't figure things out. The next day when I woke up, I never woke up the same, feeling wise. And Spirit explained to me that our original setting is to be open heartness, like to have our hearts completely open, because that's how we're supposed to function in life. Unfortunately, with all your traumas, with everything we go through, we close our hearts as a part of defending ourselves, like just blocking ourselves from all these things, but our normal state is to be open. So even before today's podcast, I told them, I'm just looking at life so differently, because I mean, I don't have a choice no more to close my heart. I have to experience life with an open heartness. Whatever that equals to is day by day. It's not about, I don't know everything. I'm not hoping to know everything. I can only go from my experience and how, where I've gotten so far, and then do it step by step. Today was my first day back at work, and I was a little sensitive as far as the energy, so I could tell that right away, and I had to clear a lot, but nonetheless, I'm just learning as I go.
I love that, because we're all learning this together, and what each person gets is what they need, and there's nothing wrong or anything. It's all individual to what we need, and to not judge that and be like, oh, this person had this big thing, maybe mine, feeling like mine wasn't that big of a deal. You don't know when you go through healings and walk down this path, something that might seem like not a big deal might really be a big deal, that you just might have the awareness at that moment, but that sometimes things are integrating without your conscious awareness.
Yep.
And I have a statement, and then I have a question for the two of you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the statement is, of the people there, I think more than half of them were in tears.
Okay.
So it was really touching them at a heart level.
Yes.
I was really happy. I had a great time. I loved being integrated with my masculine. It was fantastic. Okay. But my question is, and I think people in the audience want to know too, you two talked directly to Carrie about cacao. What did she tell you about the cacao itself?
So, do you want to start or do you want me to?
I'll let you.
Okay, so I did my own little research as far as what I found out is that cacao was used by leaders on both the Mayan and the Aztec. And when leaders needed to talk about things that were really difficult to talk about, meaning AKA could start conflicts and stuff, they had a cacao ceremony because the cacao itself brings those happy hormones from you to be able to see things from a heart space perspective. So that's all I knew. Now, when Carrie went and described about it, what I loved about what she did is she really brought in the reasons why cacao is so needed at this time. The fact that sometimes people feel like, oh, it's culturally inappropriate, but is it really culturally inappropriate to heal people from the heart? You're talking about, if we really step into current times, present times, what is... people are heartbroken. This medicine provides a way to go in to heal those parts of us. And that's like, I really love that because you could feel that not only her heart's in it, but she was really trying to honor the roots and explain to us history behind the cacao itself and what it had done for her. And also talking to an elder, what like the questions that she had for that elder Mayan, I guess, leader that she talks to, and she still travels internationally, and she's going to Belize on November too, which is where we got the cacao from. So it was in its purest form, and she believed that too to be very important because she wanted the actual essence of the medicine to come through.
Yeah, and her also, you know, sharing that, you know, we really need this in America. I don't know what it's like.
You mean the United States?
Yes.
They already have it in America.
Yeah, okay. So our country is going through a lot, you know, as we all can feel. And I think the sensitives are really aware of that, like, this world feels heavy and scary and all these, divide, you know, ways of separation and division. But that coming together as oneness, that was, I think, also what I was really feeling into, is that you don't get those feelings very much. And so to me, I think as a kid, that was always something, being in a larger family. I was the middle of seven. I loved about being in a big family, but there was a big age gaps. And so I always felt this, oh, I want, there's this community, there's this family I'm trying to be connected and a part of, but I wasn't always feeling that connection. And so that, to me, I think was one of the big takeaways for me, is this feeling of we're all a family, and everybody was kind of on the same wavelength, and you just don't always get that. And so to me, that was one of the big takeaways. But I do want to ask you guys about the Cambo, if we can segue to that, is because that medicine, not a lot of people know about that. And that actually was told to me, it was referred to me that it would be very beneficial for me to do Cambo when I very first started walking down the spiritual path. And it just never, I never knew anyone that did it. I didn't know a practitioner. I kind of did some research on it. And I was like, oh, wow, this is some serious stuff. This is not, you know, for the faint of heart. So when I heard, you know, that you guys were doing this and doing this together, I'm like, okay, I'm going to see how they go about this and how their takeaway is. And so you guys did this together, but how did this come up for you? Like, I'm interested how this happened.
So Amaral is our spiritual hairstylist. all the woo-woo friends go to him. They come from like two counties away to get their hair cut by and put in pretty colors.
Yes, beautiful colors.
He's a great colorist by people that have, by word of mouth in the woo-woo circle up here and two counties down, that he does great work. So I was getting my hair cut, and he had been curious about what you were curious about, ayahuasca. And he asked me, because he knows I'm intuitive, How do you feel? Like I've got this, I'm kind of thinking of going to this ayahuasca retreat, and you had to go to Los Angeles. I think it was not close.
No,
and it was a chunk of money, I think, mm-hmm. too. And I kept hearing no, that he shouldn't do ayahuasca right now. Okay. And I want to make it clear that neither Campbell nor cacao is a hallucinogenic. Neither one is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I kept hearing, should I tell him about Campbell? Am I supposed to tell him about Campbell? I know someone who's a Campbell practitioner. Okay. All right. I'll just dive in. I don't think you should be going to LA. I keep getting a no on that. I'm sorry. I keep getting a no. But have you ever heard of this? And it turns out, back in the days when I lived in Seattle, I went to a spiritual meetup, because I'm woo-woo. Welcome to Woo-Woo-Ville's, named for that. And one of the speakers who came to talk about what she does was a Cambo practitioner who'd been to Brazil. She got the call. You know, here's another one like Carrie, Caucasian woman, but so clearly got the call. She's got to go to Brazil, and she's got and learn about the frogs. And so this woman spoke at the meeting, and then a couple of people signed up to get Cambo sessions with her. I was not one of them, but the ones who got the Cambo sessions, a couple of them went on to become practitioners themselves. So I knew a practitioner from that group who was trained by the woman I'm referring to.
Okay.
So I already knew her. I hadn't talked to her for a couple of years, but you seem, Amaral, you were intrigued.
Yes.
For some reason, that resonated a little more at the time than ayahuasca. I'm not knocking ayahuasca for people. I'm just saying it didn't feel like the right fit for him at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that must not have been for you, or you wouldn't have asked me anyway.
Yes, so typical thing. As soon as she mentioned it, I had to do this whole research, and I watched this documentary and all this stuff. And the thing is, I mean, obviously, I trust Lola as far as her intuition, and this was really more suitable for me. And then she's like, well, I think I want to do it myself too.
No, I did not. I got him all hooked up with this person who's a friend who I hadn't talked to for a couple of years, reached out to her, got them all connected, worked it out, and you know, and then I said, okay, thanks, you guys go talk. And then it wasn't right away, but then
no.
I did. You were right.
Yep.
I ultimately went, I wonder if I'm supposed to do it too.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
So I contacted Angela, who's the practitioner, and said, would you have room for another person? And she goes, yes. She goes, I was waiting for you. Because Angela's very intuitive as well. So she knew.
Right.
She goes, she knew all along I'd be part of it. But that wasn't my intention when I hooked
right.
them up together.
Yes, I should clear that out more. In the beginning, she didn't say anything. But later on, she jumped into it. And then the cool thing is, we ended up just being me and her at her house. And we had another friend join us for one day, because what we did, it's called the Warrior's Journey. And it's
yeah, of course you guys would do the Warrior.
When you said Cambo, well, you said Cambo's not for the weak of heart, right?
Yeah.
It is full-blown Warrior.
Yes. Yep.
It's 3 days. And each day, you do the same. You do the Cambo. So it goes by, she intuitively goes and checks with your spirit team, how many, I forgot even what she called them, but they're this little, what they do is they open you up to receive the medicine, and it's little dots that they do. And then depending on her intuition is how many she does each day.
Okay. Let's talk about the Warrior part.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Cambo is purging.
Yeah.
Cambo is not soft. Cambo is Warrior for sure. It's to cleanse your body physically, emotionally, spiritually. And what happens is, to put it very, very precisely, you end up purging from one end or the other.
Oh, joy!
Usually the top.
Okay. Yeah. So you're throwing up, going to the bathroom.
Yes.
In waves, so or
that's what I wanted to let them know before we dive yes. into the procedure.
So it's not pretty.
It's not. It's actually not ugly because they make okay. you drink. They make you drink so much water beforehand. You can't eat.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You can't eat, so you've got empty stomach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the morning. They give you so much water, you think you're going to burst.
Oh.
And you drink it in a fairly short period of time. And so when you do purge, it comes up more water than not.
Yes. So it's pretty water. It's not. See, because everybody thinks of purging just like this awful thing. And I signed up for that too because I cannot. If there's one thing I cannot stand doing is throwing up. It's never been my favorite. I just cannot handle it. But yet it was water. And it wasn't even like. Like, it's just
it
water.
It wasn't like when you're sick.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And you have a bucket, you have toilet paper, you're wiping yourself. It's not.
So you're sweaty?
Yes.
You're sweating things that.
You just. It's just. I remember at one point on the second day, I think I just was sitting on the toilet and I was like, I'd be okay if I die right now.
Really?
Is he all right?
But the most interesting thing is when you do Cambo. One of the things she says, she's like, oh, you're going to be starving when we get done with this. And I'm like, there's no way.
After
you've been throwing up, you're going to be hungry at all. And then it happens. Like, you go, and after they put the medicine on you, you kind of relax for a little bit. Once you feel like, okay, I really need to take a nap, you go into, like, you take a nap. But that nap is really intense because then the frog really comes in. And it's different for everyone.
And when we're talking about the Cambo frog, it's only found, I believe, in Brazil.
Yeah.
And they take secretions. They just take a little stick and they just take these secretions and gather them. Mm-hmm. And it's done by people who are very respectful of the frogs.
Yep.
But what we haven't mentioned to them, the reason why you purge is because it's like a mild poison.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's their poison.
Mm-hmm. So it's collected, and then the practitioner is very, very respectful of mm-hmm. the medicine. And there's rituals beforehand. And what she does before applying it is she grinds it into a paste.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's done on a piece of wood.
Yep.
And then she takes like another tiny piece of wood, like a little bit of a stick, kind of like a dowel or a popsicle stick, kind of, but
all right.
I think it's special wood they use. And then what she does before she uses the paste, which is the frog medicine, is that she'll take. What did she use to burn the holes on this?
Okay. So it kind of
like
reminds me. Yeah, it reminds you of an incense without the incense part,
yeah.
And she lights
sort of like
it up.
Acupuncture
yep.
with the EC
yes.
and the Chinese.
So
with the,
depending on, she uses her intuition
brain,
and also
flames.
She needs to know your weight and things like that. Mm-hmm. She figures out what the appropriate dosage is probably going to be best for you.
Right. Okay.
So it's not like she's just giving everybody the same dosage.
Right.
And then what she does, she'll take that little. And like it looks like you're right, an incense stick, and then mm-hmm. she'll burn a couple holes in a row. On mine was on, yours was on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was on the ankle. The way she was trained, men get them in the arm, women get them in the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't really hurt that much. The actual burn.
It was only like a little sting,
it's
but
kind
it
of
wasn't
like
really.
When you scratch yourself on a
yep.
thistle.
Yep.
Yeah. But then the frog medicine gets applied
however,
that paste with that other with the, and that stings.
That does really sting.
That's not the fun part.
But the interesting thing.
Oh no, that's fun in comparison to other parts.
All right.
Well, and the interesting part about that whole thing is that so once it comes into your body, you really feel this rush, and it
you
just
do.
Goes into the best way to explain it. It kind of goes into your brain in a way. Like, you feel it coming, going from the part where it gets applied, and then you feel like your body just comes into heat, like body heat, and then it goes into your brain. And you can only, you kind of stay alert for a little bit before you just have to take a nap. In one,
were you aware during the nap that were you seeing things?
Yes. So immediately when you take a nap, it's like when the fun starts, I call it, because it's almost like a journey. And what Cambo does is See, I've never done ayahuasca, but I heard that ayahuasca kind of goes through and heals you, like meaning takes you through things of healing. Campbell just gives you a realization point of this is the things you need to work on to heal yourself. This is what's going on currently, and this is the best approach to it. And it's more like guiding you and showing you the depthness of things. And I mean, it really shows you the depthness of things. And I'm like, oh, why didn't I? It was just, it's so interesting. And that whole time you're in the nap, you're just getting these realizations, this almost like awakenings within yourself, because it is expanding you to see things differently. Because obviously you have,
because you're releasing so much.
Yeah, and you're releasing a lot. And I mean, even it's healing your body. It's getting rid of toxins. It's clearing your body. It's doing so much, but it's a lot.
Would you say that you had, when you went on the nap, that was similar to what you kind of
I felt? I don't think I napped. I was just dealing with the nausea the whole much the whole, once it starts hitting you, the poison stuff needs to come out of your body, and that's what's the healing. And you kind of start feeling like I'm going to throw up, but you can't throw up.
Oh, right.
And so I think I was nursing that most of the time.
Oh, okay.
But then finally, when you start to vomit, it's like, okay, finally, let's just do it. Let's just get this.
Right.
And the reason ours was the warrior method is because we did it for 3 days in a row.
Yes.
Wow.
I guess not everyone does that.
Yeah.
Especially after you know what's in store.
Yeah.
Like I'm.
Well, I think, I think mentally it was harder the second day, but maybe physically a little easier.
And see, that's weird because mine, the hardest day was the third day. And the only reason why it's because, well, just to backtrack a little bit, two backtrackings that I want to do is one, you end up like pretty much purging before you take a nap. And then once you purge everything, you relax for a little bit and then you go on a nap.
You go in kind of comatose.
Yep. And that's one. And I guess the other thing about the Campbell medicine is from any tropical rainforest, because I know that there's a whole tropical rainforest. And I just want to be, I guess I don't have to be perfectly explaining it, but it's just, I'm from, it's the poison, it secretes from the back of the frog. The frogs come down and they are treated in a ceremonial way and they are released. There's no animal torture. There's nothing that goes to the frog. But usually the reason why also it's like, another thing that I remember the explanation of is the reason why they call it the warrior's journey is because they would use it in tribes to it's the part when they go from kids to being able to provide for the family, and they would apprise the Campbell, and then they would go hunting, which it's really crazy, but it does. It just, I guess it makes it so that all your senses are like super intensified. We obviously did it in a more of indoors. But I guess
they
didn't
go hunting.
No, we did not go hunting.
I was not in the mood to go hunting.
But the thing that I was marveled at, other than what it showed me and stuff, you wake up from your nap and you're getting yourself back together, and you would think that after you threw up or you purge, let's call it nicer, let's purge, there's no way in heck you even want to think about food. But then you're starving. Like starving, like completely, like you feel like you haven't eaten for days. And how does food taste, Lola?
Better than ever.
Yeah.
And Angela always brought soup. She must do this for everybody. She would bring the most delicious soup, and then we'd have other things ready. And then another thing we forgot to mention is on the second day, there were three of us at my cabin. Because one of our mutual friends, unbeknownst to us, had already been working with Angela and had done Cambo and wanted to do it again. So Angela knew him really well. We knew him. Sure, come for one day. And because he'd done it before and because he is a big warrior guy, she gave him a lot of Cambo.
Yep.
We were kind of surprised how many holes she was applying to his body. Right? So I think he got one warrior treatment in yeah. one day, but we had wow. three.
Yeah.
But I want to give him credit. He made it through.
Wow. And so now you guys have these markings.
Yes.
These, it almost, you know, looks like spiritual markings that you might
see. They kind of, they
are. Yeah, because yeah. they
think
are.
Think about how they used to apply yeah. markings to
and
the
I,
body.
I want to share this funny story that I told them that it just kind of happened. So when I was in Mexico, I went to do the sweat lodge, and they do a ceremonial sweat lodge. And when you go to Mexico, and if there's any sweat lodges, they're very intense. The temperature is very hot, but they suggest you to wear something that's comfortable and something that you are ready for hot, very hot weather to be in there. And so I wore a muscle shirt, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Oh, you did Campbell? Whoa, you like really went down." Because the reason why the third day was so tough for me was she's like, "Oh, this is your spirit team is saying 10. And I was like, 10? Like, you started with like 4. And so it jumped so much and it was so intense for me that it was like really, it was just something. But nonetheless, it was just that. That was a good experience. Would I do it again? I would do the one day. I don't think I could do the 3 day because it's just, it was a lot. And towards the end, the take home was great. I did work on the things that I needed to work on. But I'd like to experience things. And by no means are we saying, we would prefer that over ayahuasca. I feel like there's a place and a time for everyone. Mm-hmm. I just didn't align with ayahuasca. And I don't know if you guys have ever asked yourselves, and that's not, I'm not closing a door either, because I think that there is a reason why. And what I have read about ayahuasca is more about people that are very blocked and can't get to certain areas. Ayahuasca is great for that. In all this plant medicine and animal medicine is here to help us. So I think that if you really align with something that you want to try out, like, really make sure you ask your spirit team, make sure that you do the studying of, is this right for me? 100%. I guess is the question you should ask yourself. Do you guys want to?
And or ask a friend like you did.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. I mean, ask yourself first, and if you're still not quite sure, you know, just, mm-hmm. all he did was ask you to feel into it. And I was mm-hmm. like, I just don't think that's what you're really needing at this moment, but maybe later.
Yeah, and I think that's perfect. I talked a little bit about that in the first episode, that to me, I see it as following the breadcrumbs. And so at certain points in times, maybe you're not ready for that. And then as you keep walking down that journey, suddenly, I thought of this before, but now's the time, and everything's lining up. And to me, it feels like things do kind of fall into place very easily when it's that way.
Right, like me not even think I was going to do Cambo, and all of a sudden going, maybe I'm supposed to be there too.
Exactly.
It was 100%. All set up for them to hook up and do it, yeah.
And I think that we're all aligned to have certain experiences. Like, did I even think that I was going to do the whole cacao ceremony? No, but then I felt the energy, and it was so soothing and so loving that I'm like, why would I not do this? Why would I not want to try this? And it all was so smooth. And we loved Pam's place, and we're so honored that she was able to host for us. And everyone that came into the ceremony came for the right reason. And that's what made it so special. So I guess there's not there. I'm sure there's a wrong way to do things, but we were just aligned enough that both experiences were really grateful for, and they went great.
Yeah, I think it's amazing because it's added to where you are right now. Mm-hmm. Had you not done that, you wouldn't be in the state that you are. Everything, you know, adds to, and I feel like supports you along your path. So being open to that, if something really wants to work with you and then you have a fear around that, it's okay to have the fear too and be like, I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's meant to be, you know, this list of assignments. It's like, here's your list. You need to do Campbell. You need to do this. You need, like, it's, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's everyone's path is so unique. I think that's
a dangerous thing to do.
It is.
And I think some people have done that. They've made a checklist because this is what I'm supposed to do on the spiritual path.
Yep.
And that's why we have this podcast, because we're just really, really trying to tell people we're all unique. We all have our individual experiences. We have similar things that have happened, but in different, but in completely unique ways that have gotten us to certain points. Mm-hmm. And I have never been interested in anything hallucinogenic. It just doesn't appeal to me, never has.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't work well for other people.
Exactly. And I think that that's one of the things we really want to point out. Both of these were not hallucinogenic medicine. And there is hallucinogenic medicine, and it's guided, and it's as long as it's done in a ceremony, it works great for the person that it's going, that it's aligned to. And we're not saying it's not good for some people, but in a way, these two medicines at least can put your heart at peace of knowing it's not going to be a hallucinogenic experience.
And I think, too, I can think of someone that I know that has worked a lot with mushrooms. And so their whole thing was been around how much that has helped them. And it was very individual. They did it by themselves alone.
Mm-hmm.
And how much that had helped them process trauma. So I think things done in the right setting, with the right intention.
And a good practitioner.
And a good mm-hmm. practitioner mm-hmm. is really good, because you don't want to be getting involved into things that... you know, you've all heard the stories of somebody taking too much of something or whatever, and you always want to be safe. So I think that it's so cool that you guys have done that, because you now have that medicine of the frog with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's so cool, because to hear the frogs when we were in the cacao ceremony, when I heard them, I heard Cambo.
And what did Angela tell us? The frog will call yeah. you. She mm-hmm. did tell us that beforehand.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it just was so special to be able to enjoy that. And that took you, Emerald, because you were hearing the prompting, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is at the end of the breathwork session. We're all kind of talking to different people. And you connect with Carrie and you get to talking to her. And then you find this out about the cacao. And then you hear your prompting, I think we should do this. It'd be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So had you not followed your instinct to go to that class, you know, she might not have been at a different class. So that's mm-hmm. why I feel like it's so important when you feel guided to something. Also, sometimes when you're like really don't want to go something, but you know you should.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, oh, you know, there's resistance. There's things that happen that week or whatever. But you're meant to go to that thing and overcome it. So it's not always going to be this like shiny brick road up going to that thing of revelation that is leading you to your next kind of signpost of your journey. Sometimes it's fraught with pitfalls and drama and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're meant to persevere and overcome to attend that thing. And then once you go to it, you're like, ah, I can see now why this was so important that I'm here.
Yeah. So I think part of what I want to say with the wrapping up of this episode is all I can say is you really have to listen to yourself, and you have to acknowledge what really aligns with you and what doesn't. I think that all medicine is great for the right person and for the right alignment.
At the right time.
At the right time. With the cacao ceremony, what was amazing is I felt the energetic feeling of the healing just from attending a complete different class that had nothing to do with it, but I felt that energy, and I'm like, I love that energy. I want to experience that energy. And immediately, the person doing the breathwork said, well, you're in luck. My friend is coming, and she's a cacao facilitator, and she's local too. She's in Linden. And funny enough, she was next to me. And when we got done, I gave her a hug, and immediately I knew there was a match, because her energy and my energy just meshed well. And I mean, she was so great that I'm like, okay, this is the right person for it. And it all just, when you listen to your heart and when you truly tap into spirit, show me what I need. Show me the experiences you want me to encounter. That's when the magic really happens. And that's my finish off thing about that. What do you guys want to close with?
I think you summed it up great. It's when you follow, you're praying and you're asking and you're connecting and you're saying, this is what I want to, like, we're here to have joy. We are mm-hmm. here to experience new things. This is meant to be fun. And so many times we get into serious things and feeling the heaviness and all this other stuff. And it's like the laughter, the joy, the connection, the community, those are things that we're meant to experience as well. So following your heart's calling and accepting those things that come in, that is meant for you. Lola, what would you like to end and close with?
I would like to end and close with something that you guys already talked about, but I think is so important, and that is not to dive into any kind of medicine until you've done your research, till you feel like you found a good practitioner that you're comfortable with, and to use your best judgment and discernment as whether is now the right time or is not the right time. Because I think I've seen too many people dive deep in when they weren't ready for something, and it can be, the spiritual journey can be an easy ride or it can be a jarring ride. So I would check in with your higher self and make sure, like, is this right for me now?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yep.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today.
Thank you. And I think the next episode we're going to do is, what's your frequency?
Yes.
Vibrations. Tune in for that. Episode number 3. Maybe we'll be a little less nervous.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.